The following Cruise Addicts Talk Show is a production of Cruise Radio.
In these winter months, consider tripinsurance.com to cover your next cruise investment. Buy direct from the leading insurers and save up to 40% or more on comparable plans from the other sites. Get a quote today and save from tripinsurance.com.
Okay, stand by.
Broadcasting from the cruise capital of the world in Miami, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, I'm Matt Basford. On this show, we'll rebroadcast our interview from 2010 with our medical correspondent, Ed McDonough. Also, listener Kristen Smith from St. Louis will give us her review of the Celebrity Equinox. But first, Doug Parker is standing by in Miami with Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy.
Yeah, Matt, I'm here with Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy. Actually, at the Miami Yacht Club, the cruise ships are behind us, the beach is in front of us. Stuart, man, how's it going?
It is great, and as you know, fresh off the airplane from San Francisco.
Yeah, how was that?
San Francisco is by far one of the most amazing cities in the world, and it was a very fitting place because I got to see and go on board Queen Elizabeth again. Cunard's Queen Elizabeth made her maiden visit to the city by the bay this past weekend, and you should have seen the throngs of people that came down to the Embarcadero to see this magnificent ship.
Now, she's like, what, a year and a half old? You've been on her before, right? How does she look?
Well, I was on her for the naming ceremony. That was, I guess, what, October 2010, back in January 2011, and she looks brand new. There's not a chip on her. She looks great, and these passengers were just completing the first leg of the 111-day around-the-world cruise, and there was a lot of very happy people that I saw on board the ship, as well as sad people because they were leaving.
And rich people, too, I'm sure.
Yes, a lot of very wealthy people.
Taking it back home here in Florida. A couple of ships had a norovirus outbreak over the weekend, and I think, what, two here in Lauderdale and one up in New Orleans. What ships were they, and is this all gone now?
It was a couple of the Princess ships, and then they had Voyager of the Seas up in New Orleans. But, you know, the point of it's interesting is, you know, none of these were outbreaks. None of them exceeded the 3% threshold of the passenger crew complement on each of these ships. And it really, it's just, you know, one of these media sensationalized events, because you have to consider that 9 out of 10 outbreaks, you know, when I use the quotes, actually are, you know, happen land-based. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was interesting, when I was in San Francisco, they had a prep school there that had an outbreak where 330 staff and students had norovirus. And so it was interesting when I was doing my TV and radio out there that, you know, a lot of the reporters were like, this really isn't a big deal,
sure,
that the media does, you know, over dramatized, you know, during slow news days about the norovirus, because, I mean, what's important to know that it's not the ships with the norovirus, it's people that are sick coming on board the ships with the norovirus. And that's why you see the antibacterial stations all over the ship. Most important thing to do, keep your hands clean, wash them.
So it's safe to say then, if folks are being clean, if every passenger on those Princess ships were washing their hands, being careful, there wouldn't be any kind of virus going around, norovirus.
It would be well controlled.
Okay.
And it's just important, you know, to keep in mind, look, a lot of people are not going to self-quarantine themselves, and they're going to, you know, they're not going to be considerate of other passengers.
Right.
And of course, when they are affected, they're certainly not going to take too kindly to being quarantined to their cabin. But the cruise lines actually do a very good job scrubbing the ship and doing a good job at containing these outbreaks.
Let me ask you this. Say you go roll onto a ship to embark and you have norovirus or symptoms. Will the cruise line give you your money back if you can't sail?
It is on a case-by-case basis, and you will have to have a doctor's note, but they will work with you. And, I mean, of course, they're not going to knowingly allow an infected passenger to board the ship under any circumstance.
A lot of ships in and out of dry dock these days. Two just came out in the past couple of weeks. So what ships were they, and what can we expect from them?
Well, we had Princess Cruises, Sapphire Princess. And, you know, she's sailing on the West Coast, and she's still doing her sailings to the Mexican Riviera, as well as out to Australia before, you know, she's going to be heading up to Alaska for the summer soon. And we also had Carnival Spirit, which was the first of the Spirit class ships. And she's actually getting ready to head out to Australia for their first season.
Did you see that water slide on there?
Yeah, it's pretty monstrous.
I know we hit on this every week, but it's been almost a month from since the Costa Concordia accident. How's pricing looking this week, and what's new out of the Costa camp?
Costa right now is taking salvage proposals, and hopefully they're going to begin to salvage the ship and move it, because it is blocking the entryway into the port. But, you know, the good thing is that pricing is very stable. Actually, it's gone up. There's been a recent surge of bookings. But some people are confused because the media is, you know, has been reporting that there was a drop in bookings, which, of course, the weekend of the accident, you know, keep in mind, a lot of people were glued to their TV sets. But it was also a federal holiday that weekend with Martin Luther King's birthday. And, you know, those tend to be slower booking weekends.
You said the Costa ship is kind of blocking the harbor. Do cruise ships actually tender there or go into that port?
No, Doug. Giglio is not on any itineraries. As far as the islands in that area that, you know, can accommodate a cruise ship, you know, that would be Sardinia and Corsica, which are, you know, from Italy and France. Giglio is too small. Keep in mind that, you know, you've got a ship that can carry about 3,000 passengers, and these islands only have 1,500 people living there, so they would not be able to accommodate the passenger complement from these ships.
Hey, Stuart, Disney Cruise Lines is taking delivery of Disney Fantasy this weekend, right?
Yeah, what's really exciting, Matt, is Disney is taking delivery of their brand new Disney Fantasy, which we're expecting to see arrive in New York after it's completed on February 28th. Its naming ceremony is scheduled for March the 1st. And I think all the fun and activities when it gets down to Canaveral will be around March 26th. But it's exciting. Look, hey, the newest cruise ship in the world is about to be taken delivery by Disney Cruise Lines.
Bye, Stuart.
Hey, we wish you were here.
This is Cruise Radio.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon. Hey, I'm Matt Bassford here with Doug Parker. I want to talk to you about TripInsurance.com. They are the low-cost leader in travel insurance.
The folks at TripInsurance.com have exclusive products from the leading travel insurers that you won't find anywhere else.
Now, we know you're going to shop around on other websites, but one thing is for certain. When you go to TripInsurance.com, you are sure to save up to 40% or more.
And with TripInsurance.com, you're not just stuck with one type of travel insurance. They have three different types: good, better, or best, one to fit every budget.
And of course, we all love and need to talk to an actual person. That's what you get with TripInsurance.com, 24/7 telephone support, just to show you how committed they are to you, the customer. And you can take care of most of your plans right there on their website. And of course, they will alert you of anything that could affect your vacation. Just go to TripInsurance.com.
Each week, we give you Porthole Cruise Magazine's Pick of the Week. If your upcoming Caribbean cruise lands you in St. Lucia between April 30th and May 13th, be sure to check out the St. Lucia Jazz Festival, now in its 21st year. More than 50 acclaimed artists are scheduled to perform, including headliner Lionel Richie, as well as singer Ziggy Marley, pop and hip-hop star Melanie Fiona, jazz aficionado Joshua Redman, gospel king Kirk Franklin, and others. A host of St. Lucia's leading musicians complement the lineup. The festival is held at Pigeon Island National Landmark, one of the Caribbean's most historic and beautiful landmarks. With the Atlantic Ocean as a backdrop, it's an ideal spot for any event. For the full lineup, show dates, venues, and ticket sales, log on to stluciajazz.org.
We have with us on the line Physician's Assistant Ed McDonough. Welcome to Cruise Radio.
Thank you, Matt.
And you're in Jacksonville.
Yes, I am.
Very nice. We want to talk about norovirus, which sometimes happens on cruise ships. First of all, what exactly is norovirus, and how does it differ from the flu or food poisoning?
Well, the norovirus is actually a group of viruses that causes the stomach flu. So it doesn't cause any respiratory problems. It's all GI or gastrointestinal type symptoms.
And what are those symptoms specific to norovirus?
Well, typically they would include nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, sometimes some stomach cramping. You can sometimes have a low-grade fever, chills, headache, muscle aches. They can be typical flu-type symptoms, but it's mostly, like I said, stomach type of stuff.
Okay, so what should one do if they suspect they have norovirus, aside from, you know, notifying crew members or going to the infirmary?
Well, first off, the norovirus is highly contagious, and yes, it's transmitted by what's called oral-fecal route. And what that means is that people that may not have the best of hygiene or don't wash their hands after going to the bathroom, they touch something that's ingested by somebody else. And the symptoms usually start within 24 to 48 hours after exposure. So, the symptoms are usually pretty severe and usually pretty sudden in onset, and there's not a whole lot to do about it, unfortunately. So as far as, you know, what should someone do once they develop the symptoms, obviously you would go to the infirmary. The biggest concern is dehydration. You're not keeping any food down or any liquids down, and you're having diarrhea, so you know anything you do get in comes right back up or goes right back out. So dehydration is one of the major issues. So fluids, small amounts of fluids at a time is probably the biggest thing. It doesn't last very long and generally is self-limiting and goes away without any treatment.
So people who are dirty and don't have good hygiene, pass it along.
Those aren't the people that should be feeding us.
Beware the dirty people. That's not true, obviously. Some innocent people get this and hopefully don't pass it along. But.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's the kind of thing that, you know, you can find on countertops. It's not a bad hygiene type of illness. It's just, you know, transmitted by bacteria that's found in stool or in vomit. And, you know, like I said, if someone didn't necessarily wash their hands or wash their hands well, put their hands on a counter, it can be found in food that's, you know, like vegetables, that kind of thing, where they're cutting vegetables and it was on the vegetables.
Right.
So it's not necessarily a bad hygiene type of illness.
Right.
In fact, it isn't. And
certainly,
all types of people, all levels of people will, you know, can get this, and it spreads quickly.
Yeah, norovirus shows no prejudice.
That's correct. That's very correct.
Are there any cases where norovirus is fatal? I guess from dehydration, possibly, but people who do not treat it or acknowledge it could probably, possibly, in rare cases, die from it?
It's rare that it's fatal. People that would, you know, be of concern for that would be people that are immunocompromised already, so their immune system is already weakened, their body is weakened. The elderly, children, again, people with illnesses, diabetes, for example, you know, it could screw up their blood sugars. In that regard, for the most part, it's not fatal, pretty self-limiting, goes away within a couple of days without a whole lot of treatment. But again, dehydration, and if there's someone that's at risk for dehydration, they're the ones that are going to be in danger.
So obviously, take advantage of all those hand sanitizers that are on board before you go into common areas, for example, the dining areas. And of course, you know, the thing is about the questionnaires before you board the ship that say, have you been sick, blah, blah, blah. A lot of people are lying because they don't want to be turned away.
Right.
It always astounds me when I'm in the restroom and I see guys walk right out without washing their hands. I'm like, seriously?
Exactly. And that's a real common thing, and that's exactly how it's spread.
How long after you contract norovirus will you feel the real sickness?
Usually about 24 to 48 hours.
And I'm sorry, you know, I know you said this earlier. How long does it take to run its course, you know, will the vomiting and the diarrhea last?
Usually about 2 to 3 days.
Okay.
And again, these are, you know, very varied numbers, but this is kind of on average.
Physician's assistant Ed McDonough, thank you so much for talking to us. We really appreciate the information.
You're quite welcome. I enjoyed it.
If you missed any part of the show or want to hear more, go to cruiseradio.net and click on Radio Channel, or go to iTunes and search Cruise Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Cruise Radio.
Follow me. Delighted to have listener Kristen Smith out of St. Louis, Missouri. Recently, she took an 11-night cruise aboard the Celebrity Equinox. Kristen, welcome to Cruise Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
First off, tell us all about embarkation. Was it efficient?
Yes, it was very efficient. We arrived to the embarkation terminal about 11:15 or so, and within about 10 minutes, we were on board.
I love Celebrity, and it leaves a good impression the instant you see it. What were your first impressions?
Well, this was our first time actually sailing on Celebrity. We had pretty high expectations for the dining and for the service, and we were just really thrilled overall with the cruise. The ship is nothing short of amazing. We had a fantastic cabin, probably the best cabin we've ever had. We were in concierge class on the sky deck in one of the bump-out cabins. So we had an extra-large balcony. The room was wonderful, great layout. The overall ship facilities were just spectacular. Artwork, beautiful artwork everywhere, lovely use of color, just an absolutely gorgeous ship.
Tell us more about the food.
We ate, we did the select dining, and we ate in the main dining room for every night except for the 3 C-days when we tried all of the different specialty restaurants.
What was your favorite?
My favorite specialty restaurant was definitely Silk Harvest,
yes.
Both from a service perspective as well as the food and the atmosphere. Everything was just top-notch.
I just wish they wouldn't have taken that restaurant off the newer ships, because that was my favorite, too, on Solstice.
Mm.
And you went to Murano, and what was the other one? Is it Tuscan?
Tuscan Grill, right.
Yes.
I was a little disappointed in Tuscan Grill, surprisingly so. We kind of had a little bit of off-service, mm-hmm. at least in comparison to what we've had been enjoying on the ship, and the food just wasn't quite as good as I had expected.
Interesting.
I mean, I'm glad that we tried it, but it was definitely of the three. It was my least favorite.
With you being a big Princess cruiser, how was the main dining room experience for you versus their food?
I would say, from an overall menu, from appetizer through dessert, we preferred the menus on Princess. It seemed like on Princess there was always something in each of the courses that we were really interested in having, and the desserts especially. Here on Celebrity, there might be, you know, one or two items that were a standout, but generally speaking, we weren't really impressed with the desserts.
Yeah.
They just didn't seem to appeal to us very much. So I was a little surprised at the overall menu consistency. I think we preferred Princess.
Does Eclipse have that, does Equinox have that giant wine rack in the main dining room?
Yes, they do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's very impressive to look at.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Recently, Celebrity has dumped a lot of money in their entertainment program. What did you think of the entertainment aboard the ship?
The a cappella group Full Tilt was absolutely fantastic, and we tended to follow them around the ship to their various performances. They were phenomenal. We went to most of the production shows, definitely the first night show, the Equinox a la Cirque du Soleil type show was absolutely fantastic. And the other shows were good too. What I think though that we missed having some of the alternative entertainment options that we were used to on Princess. For instance, a comedian available in an alternate show lounge.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really have that. And apparently they had not had a piano player on board for Michael's Club since March.
Wow.
And the piano entertainment is definitely one of the things that we have really enjoyed on Princess. We've been fortunate to sail on Jerry Ring and Sammy Goldstein, two of our absolute favorites. So we've always enjoyed that as an alternative entertainment option, and this really wasn't available on Celebrity. I was a little surprised by that.
Did you spend any time in the Long Club?
A little bit. We went to a couple of the Hot Glass shows, which were very nice. A lot of fun to watch those. But it was, for the most part, it was kind of cool on our sailing up until maybe the very last couple days. So it wasn't really conducive to, say, picnics out on the lawn. So other than, you know, just the novelty of, kicking off our shoes and walking through the grass a couple times, we didn't really spend a lot of time up there.
What ports did you hit, and what was your favorite?
We had port stops in Mykonos, Kusadasi for Ephesus, of course. We overnighted in Istanbul. We had Athens, Santorini, and Naples. As far as my favorite, I had such high expectations for Santorini going into the cruise. That was one of the must-have ports on the itinerary and one of the reasons why we chose this itinerary. And it was just nothing short of spectacular, Ia, the village of Ia especially. But the opportunity to overnight in Istanbul was a very important reason as well why we chose this itinerary, and that was absolutely amazing. So much stuff to see in Istanbul.
How is disembarkation?
Well, we had, through our cruise critic roll call group, we had arranged for private transportation via Rome cabs to get to the airport. So we opted for the self-disembarkation option, and we walked right off, no delays whatsoever.
Kristen, for people who have sailed other cruise lines like Princess or Holland America and such, do you have any first-time tips or advice for these people who may be considering going on Celebrity cruises?
One of the things that I had read about as a tip for embarkation day was to go up to Bistro on 5 for lunch on embarkation day. Most people aren't familiar with it right off the bat. It tends to be pretty quiet, less chaos than, say, the buffet area. So that's what we did, because your cabins aren't available when you first get on the ship. That's different from what we've experienced with Princess. So we were ready, of course, to eat, naturally, being on a cruise. Uh-huh. So we headed straight for Bistro on 5, for the which is the creperie place. It's a $5 surcharge, but well worth it. The crepes are large and delicious, lots of fresh ingredients. They have both savory and sweet. So that was a really nice, relaxing way to start off the cruise. So I would highly recommend a visit to Bistro on 5.
And that is perfect advice. I'm just like you. Got to eat as soon as we get on the ship. From
Absolutely.
St. Louis, Missouri, Kristen Smith, really appreciate you sharing your experience with us. All right, that's going to do it. Don't forget, we're on the Stitcher Radio Network, the easiest and best way to listen to Cruise Radio and other podcasts and streaming live radio. Just go to cruiseradio.net, click on the Stitcher Radio icon. Don't forget, it is a free app for your smartphone. For Doug Parker on assignment, I'm Matt Bassford from the Cruise Radio Studios in Jacksonville, Florida. This is Cruise Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cruise Radio. For information on how your company can reach over 100,000 travel enthusiasts a week, email sales@cruiseradio.net. Find Cruise Radio on iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just search Cruise Radio.
The preceding Cruise Addicts Talk Show was a production of Cruise Radio.